once took on a man larger than him, half his age, at the end of a series of teaching. This guy had just been kind of belligerent all the way through, because smartass, you know. He was going to be a stage entertainer, and he came over from Las Vegas. And the last night of the program, each person was speaking on the course, what they intended to do with it. And it came this guy's turn, and he started lecturing Gil on how to teach, what should be included. And then he said something that most ones in the audience didn't hear. He referred to Gil as putting too much spiritual aspect in his teaching. Gil Boyne was a street fighter in New York. He was literally born to a family. The father was an alcoholic. You will not find Gil working with alcoholics. He only discovered his spiritual truth, which is shocking, only about 10, 12 years ago. He was a hardened master hypnotist, took control of an audience instantly. Where, for instance, the other side of that coin is the Ormond McGill type that can simply mesmerize someone instantly, softly, gently, and they don't know they've been had. Gil's in his 70s now. Ormond is in his 80s. But I want to tell you, Gil Boyne ripped off his coat and he tore into that guy. And it took two men, E.J. and Jim Moorhead. And if you, anyone who knows Jim Moorhead knows he is a weightlifter. He is in the salvage business. He can handle a railroad tie. Like nothing. It took two men to hold Gil Boyne. And he told this guy, you get out of here and don't you ever, ever come back into my space again. I will kill you. Get out of here. And no one knew what had hit anybody in the room. I mean, this was the party. This was the end. This was the graduation. This was that last sharing. So this guy got out of the room, and I doubt he ever came back. And Gil, after he settled down a little bit, went and got his coat and put it on. And he said, sometimes, students, you're going to have to take on the devil himself. And if you're not willing to do it, you're not worth my time. And friends, if you're not willing to do what must be done, it's not worth any of our time. You have searched for God. You're not alone. I don't want anyone who isn't searching. And I don't want anyone who just faith is whatever direction I may sit and do all us, or alms. That's not our job. Our job is to bring a little light into one little spot, build some businesses in good business integrity. If you will, set an example without making great big speeches. Have a paper where everyone in the world has access to truth. They don't have to believe it. They don't have to buy it. But it is none of their business what you put in it. And I'm preaching my sermon first because we're going to have fun later. And this is why you're here. You haven't been here to sit through 8 years of lectures. And even after 8 years, meditation would have been a total bore to you. You can only do so many ohms before you're out of your gourd. You came to do and to serve, and as you get closer to the ability to serve, the more frail you get. Well, let me just be sick today, Dad. Let me have some infirmity that is my excuse today, Dad. And Dad will always let you. But John doesn't have to ever ask again to get into the mental oneness. He doesn't want into my business. He wants that strength of his connection with God, where he used to function all the time. And because it was first in his wish, it's where he still functions. He's just lost his assurance of that. And when we get frustrated, what do? We resort to our tantrums. It's called reaching out for help. And it's hard to help someone who just had a tantrum. Check the kids. You're pissed off at them after they've been bad, and they know it. And they stand there and defy you. And then they'll apologize to you. Oh, Mommy, I will never do it again. I am so sorry. It reminds me of tell sister you're sorry. I'm sorry. But I'm going to kill you the minute I get out of sight. I'm going to punch you out. But I'm sorry, Mommy. Aren't we all like that? Aren't we all like that? And don't our hearts just reach out? And then when you're pained, it's as if you've been physically hurt. And your enemy will always know where to hit you. It will be in your integrity. It will be among your friends. And Orman said something else this weekend that I want Rick and everyone to hear. I want Rick especially to hear it again. Because if you branch out and you try to utilize the tools that we're going to give you, there's no secret here. There is no loss of control here. If anything, in hypnosis, you've got control. Because you have gained control of yourself. This is a tool for you. I don't ask anyone to go bouncing out there to be the hypnotherapist of the century. This is for your use. Ones have written constantly, I want to find my soulmate. And I know that if I just write these affirmations, that she will come along, but it's been 25 years and I'm getting nervous. Put it on a piece of paper and send it to the angels and let them find the right one for you. You'll know when she comes along. With some, you have to be careful. Because everyone that comes along seems to be it. But you can have a lot of fun and make a lot of friends and acquaintances along that way too. You have to always, as you visit with someone, especially in this boy-girl exchange or boy-boy exchange or friend exchange, you have to investigate what you have in common. And the last thing you should investigate is the sexuality aspect. Because if you get hung up on that, you've done exactly what your adversary wants you to do. You are hooked on a physical thing, and it will end up destroying you. You have to have friendship, and you have to have love without the touchy-feely. to have a relationship work. And then all of those things that you don't have don't matter. So what happens? The protocols get written. There are many ways to capture a man's soul. Trap him. You teach the world that these immoral acts are righteous. This feels so good, could it be wrong? No, darling. It feels so right. I know I'm with you. It's got to be right. No, it doesn't. You just have two idiots instead of one. Reinforcing each other. Can't you just say, hey, I think this is okay and I want to do this. How do you feel about it? Oh, well, yeah. Well, now you've got a mature understanding and it becomes almost acceptable, doesn't it? You're not putting something over on somebody else or lying to yourself. You honestly are now beginning to form a relationship. Power and control over another is absurd. That's what the politicians want. And this is what the politicians must have. And this is why your enemy will fail, because you will find that your enemy, and this is something that these ones over here who think they're serving the enemy to get the Eckers, forgetting themselves. If they think tattling to Stephen Horn is going to somehow win them something, that man is shredding them. Abbott is using them and spending their money. I think that all of the case histories, the filings, should be made public. I'm not talking about running it in the paper. I'm talking about all of you should be able to go over and read it. Mr. Horton has joined Green into a suit in which he has no standing, no business. He has nothing to do with it. But he wants to hang on to that gold. And he even signs it off with, you must leave this open because of the ones who have a claim, like himself. You know, legal fees? Take that one. After the court has ordered a different direction. Four times. That is going to be the most valuable 350, well, let's call it 1,100 ounces of gold that ever hit the universe, as far as you're concerned. I know that his interest comes due. E.J. wishes he had the $350,000 because he doesn't need any more of his other crap. But that plum is going to have sorted better than anything God could have offered this group. And yeah, I'm sick of calling this something else. It's not a group. We're a group. And I don't care whether they like it or don't like it. Mr. Horton just told the judge in his last filing about these people, you know, these egregors who listen to the intergalactic commander. Good. What's wrong with you? Doesn't he wish he had one? Should. Well, the judge says, to Dorma, it's you going to go to prison. Remember, everybody, it's you who's going to go to jail. I'm putting you in jail. Well, Doris kind of objects then. And so she runs and hides and says, well, what am I going to say? Did I listen to this intergalactic commander or not? And so she says to Mr. Horn, well, I don't know. Maybe I guess I'm nuts. When did you go nuts? Well, about the day of the no sale. Are you telling me that from the day of the no sale you went nuts? Yeah, that sounds good. How did you establish this? This nuts. Do you think if you had gone to a psychiatrist, you know, if you sought counseling, couldn't afford it? You mean that you have all this mental problem and you didn't seek a counselor? No, couldn't afford it. Well, what do you think a psychiatrist would have told you? Probably that I'm insane. Why? Because I speak to extraterrestrials. Doesn't that make you nuts? Well, who am I speaking to now? You know, this scared him. He couldn't tell who was speaking to him at the moment. And neither could she. And I was having fun. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid to be? You want to be fair, don't you? You come bouncing off kiddies, and you come into an alien serpent world. And I've got to get on, and I've got to teach you about that world. It isn't a matter of teaching, it's a matter of remembering. Do you want to be a serpent with scales, a dragon that breathes fire, that controls and manipulates? Not my people. You win from the truth strength. The true capability of creation. They can only manipulate. You can create. I think that's better. Especially since you're on this old deteriorating stage that's got to be fixed. Or you're going to fall through the planks. And that's all that's happened is some of the actors have fallen through the planks. And they're still down there trying to pull you with them. How many people do Sandians call up and lay it in their ears about how put upon they are? And literally convince those ones to do exactly what happened and get a paper. Not even particularly selected paper. Just send us everything that she writes. Okay. Seems fair enough. I'm a little pissed off at them anyway. Let's keep something turning and turning. And let's let them be afraid because they'll get back what I feel I'm missing. In the silence, you know, that is imbecilical, immature, and totally childish. You are kicking your feet and having a child tantrum because you are reflecting exactly what you are, insecure, and in your heart you're mean. At the moment you do something, it's out of meanness. It is not out of love, and it's not out of goodness. And if you don't know something, why don't you find out? Well, I just don't believe that this could be. I just don't believe that Rod would do this. Then why don't you find out? Write down on Mitch's desk, I don't know what it's called, the planning commission, the zoning commission, whatever your little town calls that little commission right there on top of his desk, or the drawings, or the complaints, or the I'm going to get them documents of Rod Innes. Right on top. Do you think they respect Rod for having done this? They call him a lousy snitch. Your enemies don't like you. They like snitches even less than you do. And yet you entertain this. These people have called everyone that you could call friend that they can get a phone number for to tell their side and rebut that awful commander down there who is evil and controls Dorma. That, my friends, is the one thing, if you believe it, you are totally incorrect. She is my secretary. Period. I do not manipulate her, except when she is serving as my secretary. And that is no more than I just did for John. And sometimes she very clearly tells me that of her, she is management, and she does not necessarily agree with me, as all of you are welcome not to do. But you have no right to call yourself friend and walk out of here and betray. Somebody else did that 2,000 years ago. It's already been done. Do you have to do it too? And that one did it to the same people. You see, you're going to work your way around. And I'll back off. And Sananda's going to start spending more time with you. So you ones who hear Sananda had better start sharpening up your listening. Because we have only one real mission and one real goal. And that is to bring God's created souls home. And if we can change this stage around, we can have a lot longer in this play and let you experience winning. You're going to get funding, you know. Some were great enough to release it and say, I have to give it to you, Father. I can't. I can serve any way you tell me. And then some of you let go of it. But you have to listen, don't you? Because your service is not through. What are you going to do with it? Oh, well, I was ready 10 years ago and you didn't send it, and I was ready. Well, Rick and Norma were ready, but the rest of you weren't here. Wouldn't you have been ticked off had they gotten it and you didn't? Come on. And you better believe we're going to let Randall have some success. Randall deserves his gold mine. He went away from here because I said, when you grow up, son, come back. And you will notice he's never pushed. And he always comes back. And he's going to get a big one. And it's going to bless you all. And we can go another few days, another few weeks. We can go as long as we need to. Because it all is within the one. And this is what we're about. Aren't you glad we finally got here? And look around. There's some who just can't be here. It's a little terrifying to realize, oh my God, you mean we have to do it? But have we proven ourselves worthy of the task? We've been an example. And I respect you. I admire you for not having buckled under some of the assaults that you wouldn't even recognize. And you do not have to become your enemy. To work with your enemy, if he's useful to you, or push him out of the way. You ones are going to have to learn to push them out of the way and make it so miserable for them to be in your company that they back off. Well, I enjoyed the friendship. I don't really want him to go. Don't you? Do you want someone who will betray you? And if a man will betray God, you are nothing. If a man will betray you, to make his ego and his lie appear to be true. Are you better off with him or without him? And all you've needed to learn is to discern that. And you've won. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be crass. All you have to say is, I don't believe this. I don't want to talk about it. If you have something else to talk about, we'll talk about that. If not, then we have nothing in common any longer. Please don't call me. Because if you listen to it, you have left your armor open. But I came here. I was told to come here. EJ asked me to come here. No. I have been very careful, the ones that I asked to come here. And they knew when they came they would have to work. It would be hard. It would be miserable. But we would make it. And I can count them on my fingers of one hand. The others will have heard the call, and maybe they suspect that it was a call. Others were told not to come and came anyway because they felt they heard it elsewhere. Who knows? Who knows? None of our business. But nobody said it would be like this. I was going to come, and we were going to have fun, and we were going to do projects, and nobody said we were going to do this. Except Adorma. And at least Al will remember. There was the day that I said, sweetheart, this is it. If you step across that threshold with me, there is no return. And I will tell you now that every effort will be made, and you may well be discredited in this your own village. Can you take it? Well, we're learning whether or not she can take it. Because all the joy went from this valley of radiance, where they played, experienced, knew. Right now, you can go to Lancaster, to the Black Angus. You can go to, you name it, in Bakersfield. They could go into any store, any church, any place in this village. They were not only loved, they knew the leaders by first names. And to have allowed this to come upon them was painful for me. It has been hard for them. But to lose a round does not mean you flunk or lose the game. Mr. Horton has done an incredible favor. He has literally, oh, that foolish man, he has literally subpoenaed Jason Brent for deposition. I think I'll go to that one. I feel really sorry for Jason. You see, Stephen's just about to have backed himself into that propeller backwards. And either he did something or Jason Brent did it. Well, they both have been so naughty that they don't know who, they just know what they did and what they didn't do. So the fingers, you know, are going like this. Do we expect to win this case? Who cares? Once it goes to jury, you know, the settlement hearing lasted less than 5 minutes. It was over before it started. Once again, Horn made an idiot, made a farce of the court. When you finally found the right judge, it was one appointed by Judge Randall. So you knew right off there was not going to be a hearing. It was not going to be anything but another little shake your hand and I'm happy to meet you, railroad job. He didn't even bother to bring any one of his people. And that's against the law. He has to bring his people to a mandatory settlement conference. They didn't. So he went in, visited with the judge. He came out grinning, you know. He'd won. He hadn't won anything. He'd lost. All of you have lost. Doesn't matter who wins his case. But I would expect that Ray Bilger found some interesting things in Santa Barbara. The case itself, the people involved, go all the way to the White House. I told you that then. They kill people. So try to look into it, so don't look too deeply. But enjoy yourself. This is what the game is about. It's living in this environment and being able to live in it. Keep your eyes open and not let it blow you away. You do not have to be your enemy to engage your enemy. And truth frightens them. You see, no attorney can believe these ones would be telling the truth. You mean they're telling the truth? Well, what did you think they were doing? Oh, God, what do I do now? And that's a good little joke. I'll try to clean it up. Little boy takes his little girlfriend around behind the barn because he's watched some of those older boys, you know, taking their girlfriends around behind the barn, and they come back looking all disheveled and wonderful and smiling. And so he finally talks his little girlfriend into let's go around behind the barn. So they get around behind the barn and they sit down. Nothing happens. And finally he says, oh God, what do I do now? Isn't that the way you feel? I'm around behind the barn, but oh God, what do I do now? Well, we learn to build the strength within ourselves so that we let God show us what to do now. And what time is it? I want you back. I want to have an afternoon. Let's stop now. And let's have some lunch. Have some whatever. I want you back. This is what we came here for. Okay, everybody? You name it. Well, then let's do another 5 minutes. Okay. Kathy, get up here, please. I know. I should have said, Kathy, would you please? A chair. Norma was looking for some things, and Kathy said she'd never been hypnotized before, so we were looking for some tools, and we've got the tools.
That 12 by 14, where was it? 11 by 12?
No big deal here, playing with the tools. You see, there's so many ways to do the job that we need to look at the little tools that some use. This has a particular name that I won't even make you remember, but it's a mesmer spiral. And it's very, very confusing to the eyes, especially if you move it. And if you were going to be utilizing this, if you are in practice, for instance, there are gentle ways to do something. Kathy will be very receptive now, very much like Rick, simply because we did several rapid things, several slow things. And so if you just handled her now, sleep, she's gone. She's gone. We can deepen it. Just let it hang loose, limp. You see, she's gone. And yet she's laughing at me because she's gone nowhere. She's very, very aware of what I'm doing. Go deeper and deeper and deeper. Go into the silence of self. Let go. Let those cares and worries go. You have the hands of a healer, Kathy. And you use them, and you use them well. And we need to give you some help, because you need to let go. Those children are beautiful children. They're wonderful children. And this is the way the adversary lets you bear guilt, that if somehow I did more, they would be able to be more. No. No, they are. And they're perfect in their way. So we start here. I'm going to bring her back to the here and now. And then we will demonstrate another way or two, so that you can get an idea. And then we can try it with various and sundry ones, or you can practice on each other. You see, you will not bring anyone into your power like this. Kathy, I'm going to count to five. You come back to the here and now, but remain relaxed. One, two, three, four, five. Open your eyes. Open your eyes and look at me. All right. Now, we did something with a weird-looking one, this crystal. Well, it's glass. But if you can get your client, your friend, to focus on something. You see, she doesn't know what to do. First of all, you tell her what you're going to do, which I didn't. But this is a method of just getting her attention. Just follow it. And as your eyes begin to get tired, let them close down. They're getting heavy, 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 heavy. The reason that I want to let her experience is with the healing talent in her hands. And there are several of you in this room that hold this healing within you. Do you see what a tool this is? Joan will see it. Andy will see it. Kathy especially will see it. You will be having people come to you. If you were a dentist, can you see how helpful this would be? Just to have such rapport with your patient, your client, your friend, to be able to walk up and touch their forehead, and they become as relaxed as she is. You see, she can sit here and completely balance herself. But she's totally non-related to it. The body will do it for you. She is so relaxed, in fact, that if I suggested it, she would go out of her way to fall out of the chair on the floor. But I don't want her to do that. And I don't want her to not trust me. I'm not going to make a fool of her. This isn't just an entertaining experience. This is a tool she can use. And it didn't take her all day to learn it. She would be able to go out and do it. Let's go. Let's come up now, Kathy, to the here and now. Five, just open your eyes. Now let's see what this one does. Just concentrate on this as I move it. Now see, she can hardly keep her eyes open. There are all sorts of ways that you can check this. But she is so relaxed, and those eyes are so heavy, And this is such a confusing dang picture. So when you want to close your eyes, just close them. Don't make them tear. Take a long time. The enemy doesn't want you to know this, because people get well. People come in for a massage or an adjustment. Can you imagine Sandy working with someone who's in this state of relaxation? Just getting into this state of relaxation does away a lot of times with the need. Don't you think I want someone to learn to do this with Jean Dixon? Because her blood pressure will completely stabilize. It just happens. You stop interfering. Kathy, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. You'll be back in the here and now, feeling wonderful. We just wanted to leave the room with this until we come back. 1, slowly, easily, calmly, coming back to your full awareness. 2, every nerve and muscle in your body is relaxed. And if you could feel her, she'd want to come back. You know, up yours. I like it here. I've got problems if I come back into your world. No, you don't. You're getting control of those problems, because we're going to give some tools that will allow you